Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Today is Tuesday. We're back with a, I guess, evening edition. It's definitely 4 o'clock here on the West Coast. Want to hope everyone is having a good day. Going to be in that rush hour traffic with TBV. Hashtag TBV podcast. Leave the mark and let them follow it. If we come and build the show, they will listen. Yo, we are back. We're going to be talking a little Anthony Joshua. It is the rumor mill again, being as though there are multiple conflicting reports out there. We got one report that we can, you know, trust. Boxing Scene is a trusted website. They're saying Luis Ortiz is not taking any step-aside money. He's not signing to fight Deontay Wilder, and instead he's waiting until September 3rd to see if Joshua is going to fight him or vacate. So that's what's on the agenda for today. Quick little show. We're going to be taking calls on Skype only, so remember to add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. That's N-E-S-T-O-R-G-I-B-B-S. Remember, if this is a topic you're interested in, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. Lets us around here know that you like the content and make sure that the show gets in front of other eyes. So I'm going to go out to my co-host. We have a full panel today. We're going to go out to the Golden State, to the hipster, Hunter.
Dollar D. Beyonce production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Thompson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck yeah, Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knock out now. When the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. And with Anthony Joshua and his WBA belt maybe being stripped on September 3rd, a lot of interesting things about it. Obviously, Luis Ortiz's team is the ones that really presented this fact, even though it was sort of already known. I don't think it really was understood by the community because of the rumored Kubat-Pulev rumors of him not wanting to fight for 3 to 5 months. And that obviously conflicting with the October 28th date, I believe, in Cardiff, Wales. So Eddie Hearn needs an opponent for that. Obviously, the other mandatory is Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz is right now in negotiations with Deontay Wilder, but being a smart man, realizing there's a giant bag full of money in the UK, and that's potentially available, and now he's going to push for that when he thought he couldn't get it before. And let's be honest, the WBA has a long history of non-enforcing mandatories, non-enforcing their own rule set, or their own mandates. Let's not forget a couple years ago, maybe it was even two years ago, when they said they were going to clean up all the regular and interim belts in the WBA, and that didn't happen. So I don't really believe in mandatories with the WBA, but this is basically Ortiz pressuring the WBA as really the only mandatory left for Joshua to maybe get that big paycheck. Because let's be honest, Anthony Joshua is maybe the biggest star in the sport, and he equals a way bigger check than Deontay Wilder. So if I'm Luis Ortiz, I'm taking that, and I'm pressuring the WBA to basically either strip Joshua on September 3rd or get that fight. And let's be honest, Joshua may just give up the belt. That's a possibility. Joshua doesn't need Ortiz. He really doesn't. He's the biggest money man in the sport other than Canelo and obviously Mayweather McGregor. So he doesn't need Ortiz. Ortiz needs him. So just a lot of interesting things to think about. A lot of storylines. Can't wait for maybe September 3rd to roll around and get some more concrete news on the heavyweight division, because at the top, it's really a question mark right now. And I want a little more facts, a little more concreteness with the future of this division.
Well, let's introduce the third part of this trio. Doomy Doomsday, the amateur boxer. What's going on, Dooms?
What's going on, people? TBV. What can I say about this topic, bro? I mean, to me, either fight would be a great fight. Who's ducking and are you ducking? You know what I'm saying? Is it for the money? Is it for the glory? I think Ortiz versus Wilder would be a great fight. I think Ortiz versus Josh would be a great fight. So I think the one that has the pressure, I think, is Ortiz. He's going to be facing two, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the highest level fighters in the heavyweight division. So I can't wait to see what the fans think right now, what's on the mind.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure to see what happens come September 3rd and to see what direction Joshua goes. He is the key. I mean, me and Matt were talking about this off air, and at the end of the day, you know, Joshua is the cash cow of the division. So it is smart of Luis Ortiz not to sign a Deontay Wilder deal just yet, because he's already with Heyman. That fight will always be on the table. He goes and fights Joshua and comes back with that WBA belt. The fight with him and Wilder is bigger. And let's just be honest. Again, Joshua's the cash cow. Why go for Wilder when Joshua's the moneymaker, the bigger name, the pay-per-view star? I mean, and it's interesting, you know, Lewis isn't necessarily holding out. I mean, we got to remember that Luis Ortiz is advised or managed by Deontay Wilder's advisor as well in Al Heyman. So he could just be simply saying, listen, guys, stay in shape. We're waiting on Joshua and Eddie Hearn. If Pulev needs 5 months, Luis, you're going to fight Joshua. If that doesn't happen, you're fighting Wilder. So stay in the gym. Stay ready. I think that's closer to what is happening at this point.
Well, again, we have two different sides of it. We have the Joshua camp and the UK market and that whole conglomerate. And then we have the US market. We have Wilder. We have PBC/Al Heyman and Ortiz. And that's all sort of interconnected as well. How are they moving on the American side? I'm very curious, and /Cuban side. Because Ortiz and Wilder are both advised by the same person, Al Heyman. I'm curious about, how Ortiz's camp now having this mantra of let's go after the Joshua fight affecting the negotiations with Wilder and also affecting the relationship with Al Heyman, because that is a new relationship. Obviously, I think this sort of felt like Al Heyman, Ortiz getting together to create the Wilder fight. That's what that entire creation of that relationship seemed like, and now it's not that. Al Heyman was making a power move to get Ortiz in the stable to get Wilder a big, credible fight. And now that may not happen. So what's next for Wilder? I'm very curious about how they're moving over there. Eddie Hearn has all the leverage. So does Joshua. Like that, they're sitting back in lawn chairs right now, sipping Mai Tais and just laughing at everyone scrambling to try to get that fight. They're in positions that Pacquiao was in and Mayweather was in and now Canelo's in. They're in that position right now. So they're waiting. They're waiting for someone to break, for someone to give them a low ball offer so they don't have to pay them $2 million instead of $5 million. You know, they're going to try looking for that. You know, I think we're going to get something not till pretty much the end date. We're not going to get anything until September 3rd or the day before in terms of news, because they got time. They have the leverage.
You know, my question is, how is it decided on which mandatory has precedence over the other? You know, like, what makes the WBA more important than the IBF or vice versa?
Well, for this case, it's not every case, but for this case, remember, Joshua has been the IBF champ, and he's got several exemptions already. So that's why it takes precedent over the new mandatory in Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz is a new mandatory because he just won the belt against Vladimir Klitschko in a vacant title belt win. So the rule set's a little bit different because of this circumstance. That the reason why the IBF took precedent over the WBA. I don't know about every case, but I know for this case, that's why.
All right.
Well, what's interesting for me is Luis Ortiz. Again, I think he's in a good position. Either way, he's going to be in a title fight, but he's also in a very dangerous position and a vulnerable one. He hasn't fought since his last fight with the white rhino, David Allen, and that was back in December 10th of 2016 when he was still doing business with Eddie Hearn. So by the time it's all said and done, Luis Ortiz would essentially have 11 months out or 10 months out if we're going, if we're using all the reports out there that are saying, what, November 4th? So we're talking about 11 months out if he's going to potentially face Wilder. Mm-hmm. And if it's Joshua, well, then Joshua was on schedule, according to rumors, for October 28th. So regardless, it puts Luis Ortiz, if he gets either fight in that 11-month range, having this layoff and being, I don't know, how old is Luis now? 38, allegedly?
In Cuban years.
What the hell does that mean?
God knows.
He's aging well.
No, it means that he... Well, who knows with Cubans, man? You never know. It's like Rigondeaux. Like, we never know.
He's King Kong is in shape, man. He's in shape. 38 years old, but he's in shape.
True, he is. But the thing is, like Ness is sort of alluding to, like, one, he hasn't really looked good recently. He hasn't looked as good since the Brian Jennings win. He has a long layoff. Is this almost a cash out for Luis Ortiz in a way? Is he looking for that big paycheck?
That's probably why he's waiting for the Joshua, because if he loses being old, I mean, it's the biggest money fight at least.
Like, if he loses to Wilder, there's no way he's going to bounce back and get a Joshua fight very quickly, because he is dangerous in a lot of ways, even if he is old or faded or slow or whatever word you want to use. Luis Ortiz is the one, not in control, but his decision is really the decision that's going to affect
I don't think he's in control or is making decisions. Like I said, I think that it's a waiting game on the cash cow. It's always on the Mayweathers, Canelos, and Pacquiao's of the world to decide what they're going to do, and then the rest of the division follows. And that's what I think it is. It's like, all right, well, we're going to wait and see Wilder and Joshua. You sit there and be good boys. You do your thing. You work out, you train, you stay in shape. If Joshua decides Pulev, you guys are going for the Barkley November 4th. It's going to be the King Kong versus the Bomb Squad.
Do we think Joshua doesn't capitalize on the fight he just had with Klitschko and not fight once more this year?
Yes, he will. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he does that.
Oh, you don't think he fights no more this year?
No. You're saying, hold on. If he fights Pulev, that's next year, not this year.
No, it's reported for October 28th.
We talked off air how shitty of an article that was.
I get you, but it's not.
I need to address that very quickly because we didn't address that on the show.
You shouldn't address it because.
Yes, I should, because that was shitty journalism.
Relax. You would be only taking the source of Mirror. Eddie Hearn already said this about, I don't know, 26 days ago. That whole arena, that the
26 days ago is 26 days ago.
I get you. Listen to me.
Hold on. No,
what I'm saying is that what that publication did was rewrite an old story. That's exactly why it's not quoted.
So why are you talking about Pulev fighting in October?
Because that was Eddie Hearn's original plan.
But that's not happening now.
But it is resurfacing.
It's resurfacing off of a shitty article that makes no sense, that I question the validity of it.
That's one article, Matt. That's one article. Exactly.
And we're going with that article over boxing scene?
But multiple publications are reporting it. Like I said.
By publications, you mean Instagram accounts.
Listen, like I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm not saying that it's official. My whole thing is hypothetical. The bottom line still remains, they all have to wait on Joshua. No one else.
I'm going with Pulev's own words. I'm not going with the mirror. Pulev's own words on his own Facebook account say he's not fighting for another 5 months. And he even said on the short end, I think it was 3 months. Even then, October doesn't fit. October does not fit in that timeline. Joshua has to move on, and he can.
All right, man.
So I'm not saying it has to be Luis Ortiz, because again, I question the WBA's willingness to, you know, mandate mandatories. So I don't know who he's going to fight next, but the idea that he's going to fight Pulev next as an option in October doesn't make sense. If you're saying he's waiting out the rest of the year and then fighting Pulev in March or February of next year, then okay, we can have that discussion. But I don't know if that's even happening as well. I wouldn't believe that. Joshua needs to fight this year. Hello?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I was just double checking. So phone lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that number is 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time if you want to voice your opinion. You want to give us your reasons as to why things are happening or your theory as to which way things may play out. Let us know by calling up 1-425-569-5241. International callers, add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. I mean, if you guys don't have anything else, I guess it is time to open up those phone lines and see what the world has to say on this topic. Remember, guys, if you're watching this in the present, future, or past, it doesn't matter. Do the good friends over here at the Boxing Voice a favor. Hit that thumbs up button. If the button is gray, you're doing the job all wrong. It must be nice and shiny blue. So, Matt, what do you think? Anything else you want to add to this or that we need to go back and forth with?
I mean, do you want to give, like, a prediction on what, on who fights who next? Or do you want
to... My prediction is, like what I said, we all have to wait on Joshua. He's the cash cow. He gets to decide what he's going to do next.
I think he fights Pulev. I mean, he's...
I think they're going to offer Pulev more money.
I think he's going to fight Pulev. And I mean, he's had hard... His last fight against Klitschko was a pretty tough one. You know what I mean? And, you know, Ortiz has always been paraded around as the, you know, the monster. You know what I mean? I don't see the crowd really talking about Pulev that much. So, I mean, if you're the champ and, you know, you don't... I'm not saying that Pulev is the easier fight, but, you know, you could avoid that and cash in or whatever. He's always going to bring in tickets no matter who he fights anyway.
Agreed. We can go to the callers.
Well, right before we hit them spouses up.
Fight fans, don't leave the decision in the hands of the judges. Download the Throwdown scoring app and receive live scoring, CompuBox stats, boxing predictions from other users around the world. Head over to your iPhone App Store or your Google Play Store and download it absolutely free.
We're going to go out to Rob in the UK. Talk to us.
Dollar DiBiase Productions.
BJ was going to beat me, didn't you? You predicted he was going to beat me. He got smashed.
Why is it Wilder so damn nice, brother? This guy has been pro for like 8 years, 9 years. If Wilder wants some of his work, he can definitely get it on ASAP.
BoxingWiz.com.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Rob, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, well, good. You good, D-Me? Matt?
Feeling good, brother. How's everything?
Doing good.
Good, man. Good, good. Yeah, I just want to start off. Thanks for hearing your stance on this, because it was going to get a little bit tasty in the chat with people saying about ducking and stuff like that. I just think it makes sense for a 38, 39-year-old Ortiz to hold out for the biggest paycheck, and that is obviously going to be AJ, because, you know, Deontay's not going to be pay-per-view. AJ's just, like you're saying, the cash cow, and it just makes sense for Ortiz to try and get that final, you know, as he's getting near the end, just to get that big money. It's not going to come with Wilder, I wouldn't imagine. You know, as far as a duck, I don't see it as a duck either, you know, against Wilder, because you're going from Wilder to AJ. Where's the duck there? That's either way, he's probably going to get put on his back. So it's not a duck. He's going from one killer to another. So I just want this heavyweight division to just sort of try and iron out some of these creases. You know, there's the mandatories and things like that. I know they have to happen at some point. But when fights don't get made straight away, everyone wants Wilder and AJ, but it just isn't going to pan out like that straight away. It's just not the way things work. I know it kind of has in 2017, this amazing year of boxing, but things just take time to, you know, evolve and get made. So, you know, we've sat and we've listened to Wilder saying, it's coming soon and all like this. And we just keep waiting and waiting and waiting and we don't hear anything. But, you know, AJ needs to fight this year, I think, for sure. I'm not sure who it's going to be. Like you're saying, Pulev said about 5 months out. So maybe that will indicate that we'll get the Ortiz fight first. I don't know, with AJ. But Wilder definitely needs a fight soon because we've just been waiting and waiting. We need this division to start moving and seeing some fights and, you know, building towards the one that we all want and the Wilder and AJ fight.
Well, all right, Rob. Thanks for calling in. Listen, you definitely got my wheels turning. Couple of topics I want to touch on based off his call, right? All right. What was the first one, Ness? Get a grip on things here. Wilder Joshua and him saying everybody wants this fight, but it's not going to happen this year, even though 2017 has been a great year. I get him. This year sounds soon, Matt. But we have to look at this past weekend as not only one, history making, but two, as a tool to teach us. We must learn from our mistakes. And these boxing promoters didn't get it right. Mayweather-Pacquiao, while it did phenomenal numbers, the fans really had a sour taste in their mouth before and after because of how long the negotiations were. What were we talking, 7 years, something like that?
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't wash it out their mouth. So much so Floyd had to use this particular Mayweather-McGregor promotion to say, I owe you. I'm going to pay you back for what I did with Mayweather-Pacquiao. Now, the mistake that the promoters continue to make is not capitalize. There's a phrase called striking while the iron is hot, and that's what you must do if, you know, you want to capitalize. Now, I bring it all back to Joshua and Wilder. If we keep dangling this carrot that is Wilder and Joshua and we say how it's going to be bigger and bigger, then all of a sudden, a fight that we've been wanting so much, it gets made and is going unnoticed like Canelo Triple G. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Do we really think that this fight gets bigger over time? Like, that's just, not necessarily a question that I think you are unbiased enough to answer, but like, I think that, like, that's a deep question to ask. It's like, does marination work? Sometimes, yes. I think there's a legit argument that there are times in certain fights, certain dynamics, where some marination does make sense and does actually help. Does this fight qualify for that? Does AJ Wilder in 2 years become astronomically bigger? In 3 years become astronomically bigger? I don't know. I seriously doubt it. Also, because of the heavyweight division, I seriously doubt both these men will remain undefeated in 2 or 3 or 4 years. That doesn't seem likely. Both in Joshua's case and in Wilder's case, both guys are way too beatable, and it's the heavyweight division. So, yeah, this fight needs to happen relatively soon. I can understand one fight. I can understand Joshua wanting to take a softer touch, not a tune-up, but a softer touch from a Klitschko, from a Wilder, from those type of guys, because you just had a fight of the year war. I get that. But this fight needs to happen next year. This fight needs to happen within the first 6 months of next year to really catch momentum within the sport. And that's probably a bigger overall goal than these two men's overall pockets and their checkbook. I care about the sport, right? So striking while the iron is hot. The sport is hot right now. The sport is in a little bit of a boom period this year. So if, let's say, Wilder Joshua happens March of next year, that would be amazing. That would catch on more, and that I think that would actually help the sport if you have that happening next year. If you have like Earl Spence is still saying, I only want Keith Thurman. That's the only guy I want. Imagine if that happens in the first quarter of next year as well. Like, imagine if those fights just start happening and we only get maybe one soft touch in between two hard fights. Maybe. And, you know, like that would change the sport in a drastic way, and I think would improve the sport on many levels. So I really hope this fight happens next year, if not first half, you know, within the first 9 months of next year for sure.
Well, I look at this, man. In a perfect world, I'm sorry, I had the camera off. In a perfect world, I would want it sooner rather than later, like yourself. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that is the correct route. Let's use Julius Ondongo and Terrence Crawford, for instance, as a gauge. That organically took about 2 years to happen. You know, Terrence got the first belt. Then he unified with Pistol. That's what happens when you don't fucking fight, right? Victor Postal. And then he got some defenses in between there while Ndongo emerged and became the, I guess, B-side that he needed to be to garner the fight being as big as it was. And remember, that didn't do the numbers that it should have, being as though it was something for all the marbles. And I think in the heavyweight division, they have the luxury of attracting the casual fan simpler, easier, right? Because just because they're big. So maybe, just maybe, and this is to your second part, Rob, about, you know, the heavyweight division getting back into gear and mixing it up. I think that's going to happen very quick. I think we're going to be very excited towards the end of this year because, hypothetically speaking, if the alleged rumors that are out there take place, Matt, the heavyweight division kind of blankets and eclipses everything that happened this year, honestly speaking, because when you think about the two biggest fights of this year, you're going to say Mayweather-McGregor and Anthony Joshua-Klitschko. So right there, the heavyweight division has 50% of what shook up boxing this year. Now, for Wilder to come back and fight Ortiz in November, Brazil be on the undercard with who is he scheduled for? Brazil, maybe Stavern?
Yeah, it's Brazil Stavern.
Brazil Stavern on that undercard, right? That's four, well, three good heavyweights and one guy that's trying to get back in the mix. And then on the other side, you have whatever Anthony Joshua decides to do, whether that be Pulev or who knows, right? Then I think I was looking at the schedule maybe in October. Huey Fury and Joseph Parker already set. So the heavyweight division is definitely going to get a boom towards the winner, and we're going to be happy, and it'll probably stay on our mind longer than anything else that happened this year because heavyweights are just big, and, you know, they mean for excitement. But
and also because callers,
so if you got anything else, let me know.
Because they're closing out the year, and we're going to get most likely top welterweights, top names that we like to watch and not fight the rest of the year. Keith Thurman's injured. God knows what Danny Garcia is doing. I know Sean Porter was supposed to fight, but he had the death in the family, so God knows what he is doing as well, and also prayers and thoughts to him. And we don't know what Errol Spence is doing. We know he's sort of just waiting for Thurman. So we may not get any of those names who are sort of big, primetime, basic cable names that fight on CBS, on ABC, on Fox. Those names aren't fighting. But Wilder is. Luis Ortiz potentially is, and that's a mega fight. And if you sell it right, you could get 3 to 4 million views on that fight on Fox.
It's just sad that the Wilder Luis Ortiz fight, Matt, is rumored for November 4th. So, like, if that actually happens, right? Like, when is a good time? All right, this is a better question. When is it not too late to announce that that fight is officially official so that it can actually get some attention and on November 4th do some good ratings and actually mean something on both men's resume? Because we're talking about August 29th today. I mean, how many months do you got to promote this?
Two.
So months. When would you like to see it announced, and when do you think it's too late?
Next week.
Next week.
I would say next week. And again, that also goes with the timeline of Joshua, Luis Ortiz, Pulev, like all this whole saga is all next week. That's the culmination of it. I think we're going to get a lot of news and a lot of press releases next week for the heavyweight division, for October dates, for November dates.
Well, September 3rd is a Sunday.
Is it?
I don't know. Because I think the 5th is a Tuesday. But you check it out. I'm going to go to some callers. We're going to go out to Orlando, Florida. We got 407-580. 407-580. First time caller?
Majid.
Is that Majid?
I didn't know Block Talk was open. You should have told me.
Yeah, I said that when I said the number out loud. Oh, hold on a minute. Go ahead, Majid.
Yes, sir. I would hope that Ortiz and AJ fight happens. I wouldn't want him to get stripped for not taking that fight. You know, like, I won't even give my predictions right now, but I just hope for boxing that happened, because we got to get down to who the best at the heavyweight, and I feel like that's just one step forward. So I'd rather see Ortiz than Pulev. So, yeah, man, that's all I got. I'm hoping he don't get stripped over this shit, man. That probably need to happen. I'm tuning in if it happens. That's all I got.
All right, Majid. Well, thanks for calling in, my friend. We're going to go back out to the UK. We got Idris. Talk to us.
Hey, man. Long time, man. I haven't been calling in, but I've been listening to every show, man. I've just been a bit busy. But let me tell you about this situation, man. This shit is all over the place, man. And you know what? Ortiz, I think, is the root of a lot of problems right now. Because Wilder, Stiverne, AJ, Hearn, Pulev, everything that's going on in the heavyweight division right now is revolving around what Ortiz is going to do. You know what I'm trying to say? So he actually needs to, in my opinion, he needs to give AJ, like, fight Pulev and then fight me next. I think AJ made it as simple as that. You're next after Pulev, but he doesn't want to wait for that. And he's saying he's giving mixed.
Yo, Idris, come on. Your UK bias is pouring off you. How is this Ortiz's B-side fucking fault? He ain't got no power.
So what do you want him to do, yeah? He fights AJ next and AJ gets dropped off the IBF. Has to drop his title.
Brother, we don't care about what AJ got to do.
Time out.
Blame on him.
Something's got to give like
that. No, very quickly. If Kubat Pulev declined the mandatory fight, then in essence, there's no mandatory for the IBF, and that is not up for debate anymore. He won't be stripped of that because there's no official mandatory, because they have to make a eliminator fight to create a new one, or it's just Pulev in 5 months.
He's not declining it, and it's not 5 months. I'll tell you now, it's happening in October. Eddie Hearn's even said this is just a negotiation thing that fighters do. Yeah, the fight is happening still in October. He's probably going to get paid for it. He wants to get a bit more. But what happens, he's going to get dropped from one of the titles, yeah? And I'm not putting it all on Ortiz. I think these governing bodies as well, they need to sit down and speak to each other and do something, you know what I'm trying to say? But at the end of the day, I get where everyone's coming from. That's why it makes it such a sticky situation. I understand every single party and why they think they're in the right. Do you know what I mean? But I wouldn't be angry if the WBA gave the title in the Wilder versus Ortiz fight as well. Do you got what I'm trying to say? Make that a unification.
Yeah, they'd just be giving that belt out anyway, bro.
It's just all over the place, man.
It is. Idris, man, thanks for calling in. You know, When you're thinking about that this whole situation, it's hard to put the blame on Luis Ortiz. You know, I got to touch on that. He brought this up, and if you're the B side, you don't really have a say so. What he has in this particular situation, in my opinion, is a bit of leverage
because he's of the mandatory,
but he's not in control. And us as boxing fans, we seem to have selective memory, right? So let me refresh it. And obviously, Matt, help me and Alex, you know. IBF was in a similar situation with – who were they in this situation? Damn, I just drew a huge blank. This is getting bad. Wait, but it was recent. Daniel Jacobs was in this situation where he felt he was – more valuable than the IBF sanctioned 25%, right? So he started to negotiate with Gennady Golovkin. Now, because Gennady Golovkin wanted a significant fight, walk with me here. If I'm wrong, correct me. But because Gennady wanted a significant fight, because let's be clear, Gennady's already the WBA super champion. So to fight with Daniel Jacobs was never a unification, but he needed that name on his resume to legitimize himself. So he negotiated and ended up giving him beyond the 25%. But at any given moment, Tom Lawford could have said, what, Matt? We're going to purse bid. But he kept giving them extensions. They kept asking for extensions because they were confident that they were going to get it done with Al Heyman. But if they didn't like the negotiation and the ongoing dragging out of the situation, they could have said, let's go to purse bid. Same thing Eddie could say here. If Pulev is saying, no, I need 5 months, fuck you. You're not the A side. We're the A side. We're ready to fight. We're ready to defend. Purse bid. You don't want to go to purse bid? You lose your fucking ranking. We move on. That's how it works in the real world, unless I'm mistaken, which I don't think I am.
Well, one, I don't think really Joshua has to do that. Again, Pulev isn't Jacobs to Triple G. Like that's while that situation with the sanctioning body is similar, the dynamics of the fight are very different. That was a legitimate fight. Especially looking back on it in retrospect, obviously, Daniel Jacobs is a top three middleweight easily. And that was to sort of solidify Triple G's resume in a lot of ways. Joshua just beat the greatest heavyweight in the last 10 years. Like, he doesn't need to push for these mandatories. These mandatories are just guys. Except for maybe Luis Ortiz, who's a little more trouble. But these guys aren't there to really solidify anything. He's already solidified somewhat of a legacy. You know, like the same with Tyson Fury. Like, those guys have a legacy already by beating the guy, the great of their division, the great of their time. So they're good. They don't need to fight these no-names in a sense. So I think in most cases, the sanctioning bodies work in conjunction with the stars. We know that. They don't want to rock the boat. There's very few circumstances of that happening, and it's usually the fighter being upset with the sanctioning body and the sanctioning body continually trying to make reprimands for it. Case in point, Canelo and the WBC. Canelo continually talks shit on WBC, and the WBC continually sucks up to him and kisses his ass because they still want that relationship. They want the stars. They want that money from the sanctioning fee. So I think the IBF and the WBA are going to work in conjunction with Joshua, like you said, Ness. He's the one in control. Him and Eddie are the ones in control right now in this division, and whatever they decide in the next week is going to be final, and it's going to set the tone for the rest of the division for the next 12 months.
And you know what? I think Eddie, I know you want to jump in, Alex, come in right behind me. This will give you some more ammunition here. I think Eddie is in the driver's seat, telling Anthony A. Joshua everything he needs to know in his ear, right? And what he's saying is, listen, the pressure's on Deontay Wilder, baby. Who you fought, baby? You ain't fought no one, baby.
Wilder is Triple G.
So if Eddie keeps waiting, right? Wilder keeps getting frustrated. He's putting pressure on Heyman now. Heyman has the fight to make. He could go Stiverne, the one no one wants, and he could go Luis Ortiz. But again, Heyman being a businessman, why do in-house with Ortiz and Wilder when you can send Ortiz out to possibly get the belt? We don't know, but it's a gamble you're willing to risk, because if he wins, he comes back and the unification is in-house. Boom. Big for PBC. So I think that's what's going on. It's like, we got to wait it out. So the pressure's on Wilder because he's like, bro, I've been out the ring. I'm ready to go. My fans are frustrating because, you know, the fans that believe in him, they call him the champ. Those that hate him, they don't think he's a champ. And, you know, he's into the social media. You know, he wants to fire back. I mean, every time he hits me up with some good news, he got that hashtag, haters going, hey, you know what I mean? Like, it's embedded in him. He needs these fights. So the pressure's on him. He's putting the pressure on his people. And Eddie's telling Joshua, just wait. Let's wait a couple more days. Let's see if Wilder breaks. Let's see if Luis Ortiz breaks and says, fuck it, I'm not waiting anymore. I'm almost going on 11. By the time I get in the ring, I'm going to be 11 months out. I'm 38 years old. I might as well take the Wilder, you know, the Wilder WBC fight. This is what's going on. This is because then you get Joshua, right? Pulev is busy and Joshua fucking fights somebody like, I don't know, who? You know, I heard rumors, you know, bad rumors, but I heard bad rumors of Dillian White rematch. Like, come on, bro. And then everybody be like, oh, Ness, but why you mad? You know, Deontay was busy. He had to fight Ortiz. And it's like, come on, bro. The man with all the power is Floyd Mayweather. And then there's a domino effect in this order. And it could have slightly changed depending who you are and I guess certain statistics, but I'm going to still go with Mayweather, Pacquiao, Canelo, and actually, let's make it a triangle of sin. Mayweather at the very top, right? Then a straight line down to the next star, and we'll put that into the triangular position so that it can be three corners, right? Joshua, Pacquiao, and Canelo, because we don't know. We really don't. All those guys have very...
Well, hold on. What
metrics?
What shape do we just make there? I'm very confused.
We made a pyramid with a fucking
geometry class right there.
Lightning coming out the top. You know what I mean? We got the lightning coming out the top right now.
Obviously,
Mayweather is that, right? So then, who else do we have? Then you got the Cotto's of the world. Those guys, you know, they barely make pay per views.
McGregor, if he comes back to boxing.
Nah, come on, don't go there. We're trying to stay too bad.
I can't troll. Come on.
Of course you can.
So pretty much. I mean, yeah. You know, if this fight happens with AJ, with any of these two, it's gonna happen in the UK, right?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that what do the people really want to see more? You know, what's in demand and what's in demand, and is it worth it for AJ to just go straight to Ortiz? You know,
I don't think it's worth it for AJ. It's like Matt said, man. He has beaten the best heavyweight in the last 10. He can milk it, bro. Like, look at the stadium.
But are we to assume that AJ just wants to, like, you know, kind of sit back and just take another fight?
It doesn't matter what AJ wants. He's not the businessman. He's just the fighter.
Yeah, well, when I say AJ, I mean the team itself too. I mean,
the problem right there. Eddie is the team, and Eddie got fucking Anthony Carolla and Ricky Burns in a fight. He knows how to keep his guys with pockets lined up.
But they only have till the third to make this decision. So,
true.
What I'm saying,
but it's also been months.
And they could also ask for an extension, homie.
How many extensions do they have,
dude? That's the thing.
Depends who they're talking to.
Eddie has a great relationship with the IBF. Just think about all the extensions he got for fucking Kell Brook, man.
All right, so September, we're in September. That only leaves like a few more months to the end of the year. I mean, is he really not gonna get a fight?
No, he is.
No,
how long is an extension? Just to know, because I don't even know how.
It could be a couple weeks. It could be whatever. It could be any time span. But anyways,
any time frame? What the hell is that?
No, not any. But you know,
they can get a 2-week extension easily. Yeah. Very quickly though, think about this. With Klitschko, it was basically a 50-50 deal. And money distribution and pay-per-view split, all that. It was a 50-50 deal, basically, from what I remember. With these fights, these guys may not be getting pay-per-view bonuses. Pulev may not get a pay-per-view option in there. And probably not. He's only getting a guarantee of maybe a bit.
Everybody gets a pay-per-view option. I never heard of a pay-per... Yo, you kidding me? You think Guerrero just got a straight, like, 2.5?
No.
Fight Mayweather back then?
That's Mayweather.
Nah, bro. Yo, everybody gets
it's different.
That
the money's different in the U.S. pay-per-view than it is in the U.K. You know that. Come on.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, over here, we all get that option. You know, everybody
I'm just saying,
$1.
I'm telling you, Pulev and Ortiz, they're going to be in a bad spot in the negotiation table because the leverage, because Joshua does not need them. So I'm telling you, that's another reason why we may not see Pulev be so accepting of this fight at this point, because he wants that pay-per-view bonus. He wants maybe an uptick in his purse. And like you said, with the Daniel Jacobs Triple G situation, Joshua just may not be down with that. He may not allow it because he doesn't have to. That's not his Jacobs.
Very true. We're going to go back out to the phone lines, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, if you're watching this on YouTube in the future, present, or past, hit that thumbs up button. We're trying to raise the visibility of the show, and that helps tremendously. So let's go back out to... We have Georgie Porgy on the line in Boston.
Yo, first of all, let me say, I don't play Showtime to see you all there, not even putting a goddamn motherfucking effort. If I want to see two motherfuckers just fight, I pick up a fight with somebody in the street. Don't need that shit. You don't love that form, my dude? Just move along. Gone. Fuck you. Man, quack, great show. Thumbs up, donate. Hey, yo, yo. Cracking, B. Yo, Matt, don't go nowhere.
George, you like 54 years old talking about what's cracking, man. You ain't cracking nothing but your bat. Put your cane down.
What up, Georgie?
Nigga, Ortiz is like 60 years old saying he's 38, so what the fuck is the difference? Shit. Man. Bro, listen, AJ is king. Whatever AJ decides to do, drop the bill. This mafia's got no power on him. This man got the public behind him. Countries behind him. Fuck only England. This nigga around the world got countries behind him. You ask him in the United States who's your favorite heavyweight. Who you think they're going to say? Think they're going to talk about Wilder?
Squad!
Negro, please. Listen, man. AJ can decide to do whatever he want to do. The man say that Ortiz and AJ on ESPN will do like $5 million. It will be like $4,999,000 fucking AJ fans and maybe like 1,000 fucking Ortiz fans. I mean, Ortiz don't bring nothing to the table. It's like Regal now. I love Regal, but the man don't bring no money to the table. And these people, that's how they speak. They speak money. They don't talk about what's right, what's wrong. They wipe their ass with all that. We know this. So at the end of the day, they're going to find a way to make the fight that is convenient for AJ. Ortiz can have a WBA, WBI. Nobody give a fuck about that bill at the end of the day. Fucking Wilder with the WBC, which for some people is the most glamorous bill. How his career fucking fell, fighting nobody. Man, this is nonsense, bro. Leave AJ alone. We can hate on the man what you want, but he's on top and nobody can do nothing to him. Pretty much that's my call. Everybody out there, support, donate, enjoy Patreon.
Leave AJ alone, he says.
Very quickly. He made a good point that I really want to address. Even though AJ is clearly not the level of a star that Mayweather is, and we know how Mayweather controlled the Nevada State Athletic Commission, the WBC, et cetera, et cetera, Mayweather was hated in a lot of ways. So his money counteracted that. Joshua both has money, stardom, and the love of the people. George is absolutely right about that. AJ is universally loved, I would say. He's the good. He is the Sugar Ray Leonard of boxing right now in a lot of ways. He is the golden face of the sport in a lot of ways. So he's going to have the benefit of the doubt in almost everything going forward. He will.
All righty then. Going out to David Beanie on Skype.
Hey, guys. A couple of things. From my understanding, I think it was from an interview that Eddie Hearn gave the other day, that AJ is pretty much going to fight what's his name? Pulev. And if he turns it down, then they'll just go down the IBF ranking to Takam. So he's basically going to fight whoever his IBF mandatory is. So I think, they'll have to do some sort of agreement with Ortiz to fight him further down the road, or he's going to get stripped, I think. So because he said that he's going to, the IBF is the first belt that he won, and he's going to, that's going to be the one he defends. So, and obviously in the order of when the mandatories were mandated, that's obviously the IBF were before the WBA. So they're obviously going to try and deal with the mandatories in order. So, one thing, Matt, you said, I didn't really understand. You said that something about the deal, Pulev wants it. I thought, don't as a mandatory challenger, you're entitled to like 25% of the purse, whatever it is. Isn't that right?
Yes, but you can negotiate for more than that.
Jacobs proved that.
You can negotiate for more than that, but I thought you were saying, because you was like talking about a flat fee. So, like, I mean, you obviously, the purse for you would think against Joshua is pretty big, so you probably want to take 25%, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 25% of a big purse is still a huge purse. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's my call anyway.
Well, all right, David. Thanks for calling in. It's interesting that David, as a UK caller, doesn't find it odd, strange, isn't curious about the route chosen by Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua. Seems a bit convenient to say the IBF is the first title that you won, so that's the one you hold dear. And
that's not the reason why.
So what's the reason?
The reason why is the IBF said they would strip him if he does not defend that belt first. The WBA did not make that statement.
But in theory, isn't that exactly what the WBA will do if he doesn't fight Luis Ortiz?
No, the WBA said they will allow him to fight the IBF mandatory first.
Really?
Yes, that was all decided about like months.
No, because that's why we're waiting to the third, bro. They have until the third to decide. That's the whole point of the third. If he doesn't decide on a third, he gets stripped. Not for the IBF, for the WBA. That's why King Kong is waiting in the wind, dog. Like, what are you talking about? You're a little lost here.
Call him lost in the realm.
I just know that from the very beginning, they've always said that they have to defend the IBF mandatory first because of the multiple exemptions already given to him for guys like Eric Molina, for guys
Matt, you're smarter than that. That's what I'm saying. You don't think it's fucking convenient that they're choosing?
I'm just saying that's what they said.
Lose that and go with that side. When on that side you got Pulev, who's been knocked out by Klitschko. On the other side you have the unknown.
All the sanctioning buyers are the same. I don't trust a word they say. And they can go back on their word at any point.
But we're not talking about the sanctioning body and trusting them. We're talking about the team of Anthony Joshua and Eddie Hearn and how they have brainwashed the fans and our recent caller, David Beanie, into believing that they are defending the mandatory challenge by the IBF due to some sort of nostalgia. That's the first belt I really won. That's
not the reason why, though.
Dog, we're going off the caller. I'm sure you have your reasons, right?
No, that's not my reasons. I'm giving you Eddie Hearn's reasons. I've seen enough Eddie Hearn interviews to hear him say, we have to defend the IBF belt because they said they will strip us because they were already giving us voluntary defenses.
Like walking into a brick wall with this kid. In theory, isn't that the same thing that the WBA is going to do if he doesn't fucking fight Luis Ortiz?
That's possible. But the WBA has been very quickly. But let's all be honest here. The WBA has never really enforced mandatories. The IBF has.
WBA doesn't enforce mandatories to their super champions. No, let's be clear. You're very slick with your words.
Joshua is a super champion.
Who?
Joshua is a super champion. Obviously.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
You're right about that.
So you just agree with me that they don't force mandatories here. So again, the IBF has a long history of forcing mandatories.
They'll strip on the third then. That's the whole point.
It's sanctioning bodies. They send letters and memos all the fucking time.
No.
And again, this is not from the WBA. Hold on, time out. This is not from the WBA. This is from Luis Ortiz's camp. They could be just as biased.
No. Exactly.
Just as much as Eddie Hearn is.
That's the point. Luis Ortiz's camp. You think they ain't getting this straight from Mendoza? You crazy? They got Heyman on that side now. Can't
twist something? Come on, man.
What?
Just like Eddie Hearn can't twist words from the sanctioning body. They're promoters, teams, managers, promoters, advisors. They're all the same fucking thing. Come on, man. They're all going to lie to the media and the public. Or not lie. They're going to twist the truth a little bit. Maybe there's a date that is September 3rd for something with Joshua and the WBA belt about mandatories. But the likelihood of him being stripped on that date is probably very low because there's not a long history of them stripping champions in the WBA.
See, quote, if the WBA breaks their own rules and gives Joshua a pass,
they are allowed to do.
Then we'll have no choice but to face Wilder November 4th. Let's wait and see. You know, obviously now they have, what, 4 days or something like that?
Yeah.
So, again, like I said, regardless, Lewis will fight any of these two people. So,
yes, he will.
I'm thinking that it's no different than any other time people are you know, quoting sanctioning bodies. They spoke directly to them, bro.
They spoke directly to them.
Same way when you were interviewing Stavern, he was like, oh, I'm going to see Mauricio right now. Now, all of a sudden, look at the new deal that's in play, you know? And if the WBA is telling Ortiz something, best believe they're telling him that and they're going to, you know, follow up with it because that's
or go back on it.
Demon trail. That's
or go back on it. Or go back on it.
I don't think so, man. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here.
But I think, we have the Stavern case you just brought up is an example of a sanctioning body going back on a mandatory. I mean, that is an exact example that I could use for my argument. Back on their rules and their mandatories all the fucking time.
First of all,
it's stupid.
First of all, it's not them going back on their mandatory.
Yes,
Stavern and Pulev were in a mandatory eliminator. And due to what Povetkin did, did I say Povetkin at first? I might have said Pulev by mistake.
I understood it was Povetkin.
I meant Povetkin. So you obviously know what happened with Povetkin. It caused Stavern to stay in that position.
No. Who was named the mandatory regardless of having to take a fight?
You're saying Stavern?
Yes, Stavern. The WBC said he was the mandatory.
Yeah.
He did not need a fight for that status. No, he did not.
Due to what? I just said that.
Failing a drug test. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the added context of why he's a mandatory. I'm talking about them saying, hey, you're the mandatory, and then now he's not. Again, you brought that up. And I'm just saying that is a shitty thing to bring up because it furthers my case.
Who are they saying is the mandatory and is not? What are you talking about? You're going in riddles. They haven't named multiple mandatories. It's only multiple
mandatories.
So then what are you talking about?
They've only he is no longer the mandatory.
Who's no longer the mandatory?
Well, he no longer has to fight for it. Sorry, should be Stavern. He no longer is fighting for the belt. That's what it seems. We know that's where it's heading.
Again, you're confusing me. Are you saying he's no longer in a title eliminator to be the mandatory?
No, I'm saying he's no longer fighting for the belt. That's probably a more accurate statement. Sorry.
For Deontay Wilder's belt?
Yes, because he was the mandatory for Deontay's belt.
As of yet, we're not 1,000% sure.
But let's just go hypothetically that
we know. But
we know all the rumors is that him and Brazil are fighting.
This is the problem with this is exactly why this phrase was created. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because you're mad at the WBC. Listen to your argument, right? You said, oh, they're no good.
I didn't say they're no good. Hold on. I'm not mad at them.
Let me finish. You can correct anything you want to correct.
Okay.
WBC has Stavern and Povetkin in something. It didn't work out. They made him automatically the mandatory, right?
Yes.
So now you were griping about that. Right. So then they decide, allegedly, right? They decide, hey, we'll put Stavern, who the public doesn't feel deserves a fight, in with a legitimate opponent, let him earn it. And now you're saying, oh, they go back on their word all the time. So damned if you do, damned if you don't.
First off, me stating the fact that they go back on their word all the time does not mean that I am upset at them going back on their word this time for this example that we're just giving about Stavern. I'm just saying that they go back on their word. That the idea that we can trust the sanctioning bodies when they send out a memo or a press release or whatever isn't really accurate. You can trust the sanctioning bodies as much as you can trust the promoters.
Sound like Georgie, right? Because we trusted the sanctioning bodies with Earl Spence and Carl Brook, and we trusted the sanctioning bodies with Triple G and Canelo, and we trusted the sanctioning bodies with Crawford and Ndongo. And we trusted the sanction bodies for numerous shit, man. Like, people pick and choose. Like, nothing is perfect. The Boxing Voice isn't perfect. We miss fucking shows. Like, nothing is perfect, bro. Like, there's gonna be shit.
That's what I'm saying.
But in this instance or this situation, this is the best thing they could have done, is force Bermain into a fight.
I'm not disputing that. Hold on. I'm not disputing that.
Okay. And the WBA, the best thing they could do is strip. Strip. It's that simple. If you ain't gonna fight, move on. You go ahead and defend your IBF the way you want to because it's nostalgic, and then Lewis will fight for the vacant WBA.
And all I'm saying is, we have a long history of sanctioning bodies going back on what they say they are going
to do. Smaller people, bro. Stop with this craziness.
No. What do you mean? What do you mean craziness? Hold on. Time on. What do you mean craziness when we just brought up the WBA? Not just brought up, but we brought up on this show the WBA mandating a year ago, 2 years ago, that they're going to clean up all these regular and super championships. And how often have you bitched
about that? About a year ago. Hold on a minute.
Stop all the time off air. Come on.
Yo, stop it with the lies, bro. Look, we're talking about maybe 6-8 months ago, okay? The most noise the WBA was making for the consolidation of their belts was around a time with the Jason Solside, Jezreel Corrales thing, and the Daniel Jacobs Triple G thing. Stop making it seem like it's been going on for a long time.
Don't worry about the time. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no. Yes, Matt. Yes, they dropped the ball. There is no consolidation. There's still multiple titles. I hear you.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, Badu Jack is calling himself a two-divisional champion. And people are retweeting it, so people recognize it. So if they're going to recognize Badu Jack, we're going to recognize now Luis Ortiz as a mandatory to that WBA, which you want to deem worthless when you want.
I'm not saying it's worthless.
You're
misconstruing my argument. My argument is that the WBA and every sanctioning body has a long history of not doing what they say they're going to do. I'm not saying that I'm upset at it or that I think they should do this or that. I'm just saying, here's the facts.
Everyone has history.
Not always do what they say they're going to do.
Everyone has history of saying they're going to do something and they don't fucking do it. The WBA has to please how many fucking fighters and how many divisions? It's difficult. You can't.
That's fine. I'm not, again, you're thinking that I'm hating on it because I'm just stating this is the reality we're in.
I just don't get as upset.
Let me finish my fucking point. My point is that because the reality we're in is that we can't hold these sanctioning bodies to their word, we should not really expect Joshua to be stripped of the WBA if he does not fight Luis Ortiz or if he does not announce something September 3rd. Like, to assume that will happen, I think, is a little bit ignorant of what the sanctioning bodies are.
Maybe to assume that it's going to happen 100%, yeah, but...
To think there's a possibility is fine.
We see this happen all the time, bro.
But to say, it's going to happen.
Especially when it's a high level, you know, person like this. It opens the door for them. They get the publicity, man. It's no way. Anyway, let's go out to Vegas. Jack, talk to us.
Hey, guys. You have to park my ignorance here because I'm getting back in the heavyweight scene. I need you to educate me if you can. I'm looking at this AJ situation, and to me, if he's got to make a mandatory, why not face Ortiz? And with Heyman in his corner there, why can't you put that on over the air TV? Get AJ some love from the public for a free fight. You know, he's a great fighter. Let's let the masses see him. And then that sets up a wilder pay-per-view that will bring in more eyes down the road. Now, I'm not educated on the TV side of it, so that's why I need you to explain. But to me, that makes sense. Am I crazy?
Makes sense, you know, when you're thinking about marketing the guy. But, again, it's just so many mouths to feed. When you're a guy like Al Heyman, you know, you got to look at it like he's this mother bird with all these little chickpeas in the nest begging for food. And there's a lot of mouths that he's got to feed because he signed so many people. So, you know, while pleasing Wilder, he's got to now simultaneously please every other heavyweight that he has.
And very quickly, regardless of Joshua fighting Pulev or Ortiz, it'll most likely be on Showtime next.
Yeah, right. Like
just because Al Heyman is there doesn't mean it's going to be on CBS or ABC or Fox. Like,
yeah, no, and well, I mean, it could be, right? Because Joshua does have a deal.
Possibility, but I have a hunch that it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the smart. They wouldn't do the right thing. They never do. You're all done there, Jack? All right. Well, we got 786. 786, you're up. First time caller, 786-367. 786-367.
Hey, what's up, guys? You hear me?
We hear you now that you're off speaker.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. Hey, it's Jay, man. Let me tell you guys something, how that sanctioning body works. It's not that WBC is not following the rules with Stavern. That was a deal Stavern did because TV wasn't ready for him yet. So Stavern made that deal and asked a favor from WBC so a fight could get done between Wilder and Ortiz. It's not that they don't follow the rules. If you look back, the sanctioning body has stripped a lot of champs before. The ones that do the deals are the guys under the negotiations, because these sanctioning bodies are getting sued for things that they don't do. Hello?
Now we hear you, brother. We're letting you talk.
Yeah, and as far as the Joshua, man, Ortiz is not a mandatory. Ortiz is a special condition to the Klitschko fight. Means when him and Eddie Hearn signed the paperwork, they signed it according to the paperwork was, we'll fight Klitschko and then fight Ortiz. So Ortiz is above a mandatory. Ortiz is not a mandatory. And special conditions in a resolution are a step ahead of mandatories. And he knew that. So did Eddie Hearn.
There you go.
Some clarification on what's going on.
Let me find out. You got some insight on the camp.
It's Jay, man. You're talking to Jay, his manager. You know, I watch your show all the time, bro.
Yeah, I'm looking at this 786. I'm like, damn, is it him? Jay, look at that. Jay, the manager, man, of Luis Ortiz. How could you believe that, huh, Matt?
I always watch your guys' show, man.
That's amazing. Well, there you go. Yeah, it's a special condition, Matt. Ha ha. He called it.
Jay, very quickly.
Yeah, I
want to get your opinion on this, and you may not be able to really address it, but do you have faith in the WBA enforcing that?
Of course he does. He wouldn't be calling in correcting your ass.
It's not faith. No, it's not faith. What they're doing is anything can happen. Those guys play this like a business. It's, you know, we don't have a boxing union that helps boxing, but at the end of the day, they have a big lawsuit on their hands because everything was done through contracts with the WBA. If they don't follow their own rules, then they have a big lawsuit on their hands, and that's where they're in a corner. And Joshua knows that. Joshua and Eddie Hearns knew that from the beginning. We were the ones that moved aside, because if you look back, Klitschko was under us. If somebody wanted that title, they were supposed to fight Ortiz for it.
That's
so
right.
It was a special condition deal we did to let Klitschko fight. Klitschko had lost to Tyson Fury. So we were number one interim champs. I mean, anything can happen with these sanctioning bodies, but they're in a major lawsuit. And the Wilder fight we can't take because we're in the middle of that lawsuit. If nothing happens with WBA, we go forward and then sue them for damages, and we will fight Wilder. So it's up right now. It's just up to the WBA. We already know Joshua Staden and Eddie Hearns, they won't fight Lewis. We ain't even asking for money. We just said, let's fight. And they said no, clearly no.
Mm. So basically, you're just waiting for the WBA to strip.
Well, we try to negotiate with them. You know, this is business. Lewis has a family to feed, and they said no. And they said, well, let's fight. And they said, no, we're not going to fight Lewis now. We have IBF. We asked them for that resolution because as far as we know, IBF knows we were first.
So now, Jay, let me ask
IBF
you.
IBF knows Lewis was first.
Since the WBA already has done some special things, can't you guys come to a negotiation where AJ says he's going to vacate and then Lewis uses that title similar to how Klitschko used the WBA title to unify with Anthony Joshua. Lewis uses Wilder. That same WBA to unify with Wilder. Is that possible? Is that what we're waiting for, right, maybe? Right.
That's what we're waiting on. If they're going to go ahead and follow the rules, means Joshua has to give up the title. Ortiz won't get granted the title, but it'll be on the line for a Wilder fight. So it's a much bigger fight.
You that is beautiful. So it would be
big knockout artist fighting in the U.S.
It would be very similar to the Klitschko deal then.
Is there a way to get a purse bid for this fight?
No, there's no purse bid because since we were mandatory, we were special condition for the belt anyway. Once Joshua doesn't want to defend it, it automatically goes to Lewis, and it'll go to Lewis and Wilder for a heavyweight fight.
Perfect.
So automatically that's what'll be done. We were next in line for it anyway. Nobody's going to argue it under us. I mean, who's going to fight Lewis under there? They're all fighting for their own positions already. I mean, in a perfect world, man, that's what it should be. Anything can happen to these guys. They use it like a business instead of boxing and a sport. But at the end of the day, then they face a lawsuit, a big lawsuit, and we'll go forward and fight Wilder anyway.
Well, all right, Jay. Thanks for calling in. Need to start picking up that phone so I can see Lewis out there.
Yeah, we will. Hopefully we will, man. That's a real fight, you know? That's going to be – it is what it is, but we're going to do it, you know? This is what we work for. You know, I still watch you guys' show, man. I be tripping out sometimes you guys getting those arguments. All right, guys. Take care, man.
Thank you. There you have it, man. See, little goals. God always blessing us, you know? Just talking this little topic and boom, the manager of Lewis Ortiz calls in to iron all the little crinkles and wrinkles out of our little theories here. Definitely put a smile on my face, Matt, because made me right and you're wrong. Ha ha. And I did forget about that whole Klitschko AJ thing, but he's right. I remember that now that he, you know, refreshed my memory. They made it an optional unification by granting Klitschko that. So that would be awesome if they did that for the Lewis Ortiz and Wilder fight. So really, see, it's like the third, man. The third is due day. I told you. But it's still, like even he said, it's still up to Joshua. At the end of the day, they're even trying to still negotiate with Joshua. Joshua's already telling him, no way, Jose, we're fighting Pulev. And that's what I was telling you, you know what I mean? He's trying to make it this nostalgic bullshit. And it's just like, no, that's just the safer route. And I get it. Listen, if I'm Anthony Joshua, if I'm him, like him, body and all, fuck, man. Give me the Pulevs of the world first. I mean, I'm already packing a stadium, bro. Like, I could do 2-3 fights of people crying and say, oh, Joshua's fighting bums, Eddie, and then come back and fight a Lewis Ortiz and get everybody happy again. Then, boom, I'm back to the David Allens of the world, baby, cashing in. Dude, they should cash in. He's young, man. Look. You figure they fight twice a year, you know, superstars. Guy like Joshua, he's young, he wants to fight 3 times. So you got to give him 1 big fight and 2, like, you know, hometown, fill out the, you know, get tickets, get money fights. He's got to get, like, because, look, you could easily put him in that Dillian White fight. Like, who's really going to complain? Maybe us U.S. hardcores, right? But, like, in the U.K., oh, they'll love it. They'll love it. And now he just signed – the old guy, you remember? Did you notice that?
No, who?
He signed. Oh, yeah. You signing him? He's at least 3 fights. You know what I'm saying? Or at least fight to fight, like however lasts you long, my son. Anyway, let's wrap it up, right? Any final thoughts, Matty?
No, not really. Shout out to Jay to come on and sort of.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, thank you for that. I'm still sort of doubtful of the WBA in terms of enforcing anything. And like you said, they don't really have to in a sense because he's not really a mandatory.
Special deal.
Mm. Yeah. And again, I...
Damn, but Sunday is
I don't even know what that really means. I probably need to... I'm going to go read up the WBA's rules and regulations and see what that really is.
Well, you know what it means. Look, this is my take, right? It's like Joshua Klitschko. It's such a big fight. Listen, Jay, Luis Ortiz, just let us do this. It's going to be good for everybody. We'll make sure you're there next time. That's it. And it's on paper.
And I'm also curious if Joshua's really okay with letting go of a belt. I know, you know, A sides have done it numerous times.
No, but that's true. What was the recent
seconds?
We had a recent champion, right, that we thought he was going to vacate, and he was like, I ain't vacating no belts. I'm defending it. I forgot who was that. It was just recent. But just to refresh your memory, September 3rd is a Sunday. Isn't that odd?
Sunday show. Interesting. But yeah, final thought. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. Because of what Jay said, I'm very doubtful that Joshua will be stripped. How that happens, I do not know. Is he going to fight Luis Ortiz? I don't know. Is it going to be a check from Eddie Hearn to the mailbox of Luis Ortiz, the WBA, etc., to say, hey, here's some step aside money, etc.? And I don't know if that's even possible. And if Luis Ortiz would even accept it, but I think we're going to get Joshua with the WBA belt after Sunday. However that happens, if he's fighting Luis Ortiz or anything else, that's what's going to happen. I'm Matt Tipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter. Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram and my MMA podcast. Mixed Combat Radio is on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
And I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and on Twitter at NestGTO. Don't forget to check us out on Patreon for more exclusive content. And be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get those notifications. We're doing shows every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. You want to be part of this discussion, so join on in. Do say.